Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 87. Got a really fabulous guest here. We got Nicole Wallet here from Breaking Even Communications, a social media and digital marketing agency that Nicole has been running for a number of years. She's got an enormous amount of experience, but she's got kind of second ego, a second life. She's also runs a very popular YouTube channel that's growing, where she barely, but with a critical marketing mindset, looks at some of the biggest influencers on the internet and especially on YouTube in her own personal style, which I find very amusing. So in this episode, we're going to be covering what Nicole would do if she was starting a membership business online in 2024. What would be some of the key steps that she would do for her own business to try and attempt to make it a success? And then we delve, into the meat and potatoes of the show, where we got a list of some of the biggest digital marketing grifters of 2024. Should be fun. So, Nicole, would you like to do a quick intro about yourself and your background?
Sure. Jonathan, thank you so much for having me on. I've enjoyed consuming your content since we've connected, and you have a really nice show here.
You're the only person that said that, actually, Nicole.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm unique in that sentiment. But I did want to say thank you, even though I'm like everybody else. But yeah, so my name's Nicole, and I have a marketing company. I started it back in 2008 when my local coffee shop owner, I walked in to get my coffee, and she said, "You're the girl who blogs." And I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's other people in this community who blog, but I'm glad you recognize me from the internet." And she said, "Can I pay you to help me with my blog?" And I remember I literally said, "You'd pay me to do that?" And that was in January of 2008. And so we've been here ever since, and I've slowly grown the company, and we like work with mainly small and medium-sized businesses, but we work with other people too. And I started the YouTube snarking when I was alone one night with a Grant Cardone video, and it was in the
you just had enough, didn't you? You just couldn't take any more, could you?
You could only go to so many Zoom birthday parties at that time. Do you know what I mean? So I just thought, you know, I'm not doing anything else. What if I just record myself watching this video? Because I've been consuming, you know, anti-MLM and other commentary content. And I thought, why is nobody talking about these people and how they do marketing? I would watch that content. And so I started just making it. And that's been about 2 years now since I started the Nicole React series on the channel. So
I think you're a growing talent, actually. I can tell that you were trying different formats, but I think you found your style now. I think you found your niche.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a bit. And I did pre-record all of them for the first 2 years because I didn't want to be too mean, you know, because sometimes
I'm English. You can't be too mean, actually.
I like the dry sense of humor. And I also can be a little bit dry, too. So I started pre-recording them because I was like, well, I want to be fair. I want to be even-handed.
I've been living in America for about 20 years, tribe. And there's only two responses I get from Americans around my humor. Either they love it or they think I'm an absolute dickhead of the maximum kind possible. So there's only two responses that I get, actually, Nicole. I almost made a mistake, tribe.
What?
Before we go into the main part of the show, I've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. Looking forward to this. And I want to point out that our major sponsors have some major special offers. Plus, we've got a created list of the best free resources to help you build a membership website in 2024. A load of free stuff. To get all these goodies, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And all the goodies are there, my beloved tribe. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. Sorry to disappoint. I've made a career of it, but I'll be trying. So let's go into the serious part before we get into the real fun section, Nicole. So if you decided that you were going to build a membership side of the business, that you were going to capitulate, if you were going to attempt to monetize your YouTube channel a little bit more and offer some real value for the right reasons, blah, 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 what would be some of the first steps that you would, based on your experience, that might lead to some success?
You know, I've had a couple of people on the channel ask me if I was ever going to do memberships. I'm not at the point where I feel like I would be good at doing this, but if I was going to be good at doing this, you know, and I was thinking about this more. And by the way, I'm just going to assume if you're listening to this, that you have built a course or like some content that you're thinking about doing it, and that you're going to provide great customer service to people after they buy the course, that you retain them. I'm just assuming that's happening, right? But if I was going to start this from scratch, to me, kind of how the marketing would fit into it is, you know, I think most people kind of have the storytelling marketing, a part of marketing kind of down pack. But the other part of marketing, which I think is a little bit less sexy, but is kind of important, is this overcoming of objections. So the great news, I think, is that in this day and age where there's all this really crappy AI generated content and stuff, people are increasingly wanting access to high quality content and information. You know, we're not all going to put glue on our pizza here. So what we want to do is just say, like, okay, you know, I was thinking about, okay, what are the objections I have to joining a membership website myself so that I can overcome them for the membership, the theoretical membership program that I'm making? And there's kind of three questions. So the first one is this for me? Is this membership for me? So if if there was a membership out there for independently owned car dealerships, right? To be able to compete with the big guys, to be able to, you know, maybe cross-reference each other's inventory.
Funnily enough, there's a very popular YouTube influencer that's a car dealership in Maine. And he sells membership about exactly the sector that you're discussing.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I was thinking is I had to drive my car yesterday to get it worked on at a dealership. And I was like trying to think of like examples that I was going to talk to you about. I thought,
you need some new clients then because you need to pay the bill then, which is going to be massive, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if I saw that and I have a marketing agency and I see that this is a community or membership platform for this very specific sector, I'm not in that sector. And that's okay. Like, you don't want to spend your time talking to people who are not going to be good customers for your membership. So part of marketing is attracting the right people, and it's also repelling the people that aren't going to fit. So the first question, is this course for me, right? what's the target audience, blah, 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 and being super clear about that in your marketing. So for example, you know, I run targeted ads specifically to other, you know, to people who list these different independent car dealerships as their employers, or people who like specific makes of cars. And maybe I want to say that they're a administrator of a Facebook page, something like that, right? So I would run my ads to that specific group of people to make sure that they saw.
Yeah, what I think you're talking about is something that we consistently hit on in this podcast, because it's based on bootstrap SaaS theory, like
yes.
This book here from Bob Rowling, which I would highly recommend. If you really want to get some really great advice, folks, really go to the bootstrap startup community. And a lot of the things that they cover, you can apply to building a membership website on.
Absolutely.
Some of the concepts that Nico is trying to express, but I keep butting in, are all covered in this book from Rob Rowling, who's a personal friend of mine, but he has started a number of startups and they've all been pretty successful. The last one he sold for $20 million. And he runs his own bootstrap community and he invests in bootstraps. And another book, folks, is The Story Machine. This book influenced my own content production. So there's a lot of resources in the startup world. And to be truthful, I think you're going to gain a lot more insight and real knowledge than buying some of the courses from some of the people that we're going to be talking about later on in this podcast.
I agree. I think books are a really underrated resource in general. And honestly, a lot of these people have books. And if you just read their books, you probably would get most of the content that you probably would have gotten in their course anyway. So the first question I ask myself is this membership community for me? And the second question I ask myself is I look at the people running the course or the person running the course and I say, can I learn from this person? Can this person teach me anything? So I'm looking for somebody who not only knows the subject matter, you know, who knows all about, for example, running an independent car dealership, but also that they're able to communicate that or teach that kind of stuff. Because sometimes just because someone knows the content doesn't mean they're necessarily great at explaining it. So I would want to know that I could learn from the person. So if you're going to do a membership website, I think a great way to do that is to show people how you teach stuff. This could be, you know, doing a free webinar that people can sign up for so they can see your teaching style. This could be taking snippets of something that you've taught and, you know, putting it on, you know, social media as, you know, Reels or TikToks or YouTube Shorts or something like that. I think people just want to see your style. And what a lot of the people we're going to talk about later, they sell this course and you're like, you'll read a whole sales page and you're like, I still don't entirely know what I'm going to learn from this. So I think if you're really clear about that and people see that you're somebody they can learn from, I think that that's a great way to, you know, and really showing that to your marketing. And then the third question is this community or is this course worth it, right? What's the difference between me sitting down and watching 20 hours of YouTube videos and this? You know, and I think a lot of people, you included, like you put a lot of value into the membership and the course. You know, you have maybe some additional resources that, you know, people can have access to you. Maybe like I took a really useful course once about running ads in Meta Business Suite. And what I really liked about that, besides like the content, the woman was a good teacher, is that she had once a week Zoom sessions that you could attend and you could bring your ad sets to the Zoom sessions and the whole group would look at them and they would give you tips on like, oh, maybe like you could try this or, you know, or like, oh, maybe if you changed your bid to this and basically you could learn a lot by doing and you had access to this person to look at your specific, in my case, ad sets, which I thought was really valuable. So, you know, is this course built for me or is this membership built for me? Can I learn from the person who is teaching this? And is this community or course worth it? And we have to like in our marketing talk about how it's worth it. So maybe there's an email sequence that people get when they sign up for your stuff. And maybe they get some, you know, stories or testimonials from other independent car dealerships and sort of how they were able to increase their business or how they are able to get ready to be able to sell their business and retire or something like that. And so these different stories are highlighting the different kinds of people that are in the group. And if I see that as part of your email sequence, and I'm an independently owned car dealership, I'm like, you know, wow, I'd really like to connect with these people.
Would you say one of the things, and it comes from the startup world, from digital marketing, is really if you can build some kind of email list, it doesn't have to be enormous.
Nope.
But it must be kind of focused around that and what the initial course is going to be about in the same field. Now, you can't build a list of brain surgeons and then your course is going to be about setting up a secondhand car dealership. That won't work.
Right.
But building up and offering some kind of lead magnet to get people on that list and bombard them, but just occasionally touching them and offering value. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm my email list is, I checked this morning, is 520 people. I've been in business for 17 years. I don't have a big email list, but it's the right people. It doesn't matter how big it is.
Would you, I'd be interested in your thoughts about this. It'd be lovely if you know, your industry, I'm seen as an industry expert. You've got a massive email list. You've got your following on YouTube. These are all great things. I don't actually think, the good news, you don't actually need all that to get the wheel rolling. But what you do need, which is kind of bread and butter in the bootstrap startup world, is they say you need product market fit, and I think you need course market audience fit.
Right.
What I call it. And what I mean is, do you really got to think of the persona? This is kind of 101 of digital marketing, folks, building personas. I think you can take it too far, but I do also think you should not dismiss it. You know, make that persona individual, the ideal person that would benefit from what you're offering, and then keeping that in your mind with all the initial marketing content that you're going to produce. So it's really focused on that individual that you can literally visualize. Would you agree with some of those concepts?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's kind of like my first question, is this course for me? Like I'm sort of like thinking of it, I guess, from the audience perspective, but absolutely, you want to think through like who is this membership for? And then let's say that you don't know enough brain surgeons for your brain surgeon membership community. There's ways to target these people online, mainly through ads, right? And for a couple of $100, you could probably find it, you know, $200, send people to the website or the offer. And based on how they interact with it, I think that will give you some information that you can work with in terms of, you know, have you built something that these people think is valuable?
Yeah, that's another thing. I've got my own view about paid traffic, you know, through Facebook or Google Adverts or YouTube. I think trying out that you've got the persona correct and putting a small budget is fine. I think where it goes wrong is until you've really clarified your membership fit, is it really appealing to your target audience? And you get this first batch of students in. I think also that's really crucial, because I think you're fundamentally going to change the course and the following courses based on the input. Because I know nobody on their business journey that started with the same business, which they started off with, 5 years, if they're still in business, it's normally completely changed the business model. Even a lot of the offerings, it's adapting to the wants of the customer base, basically.
Yeah. And I think kind of besides using whatever marketing channels you're using, whether it's social media, email, your website, paid ads, whatever, to like basically address these three objections, I think that also a part of it, and you're kind of alluding to, is maybe having some kind of beta test group or something to give you that qualitative feedback from your target audience. And I guess like the times that I have done courses is when I start with that and either a free webinar where I just get a bunch of people to it, or I start with a beta test group that I'm working with for over the course of a few weeks for them to go through the content and give me feedback. I usually will get customers even out of that, even though that's not the aim of it, because I do get a lot of valuable information that allows me to tweak and say, okay, where do people need additional support, or what are the things, like I'm running something right now that's probably going to be a sort of course with a beta group. And someone asked me this really basic question that I didn't like, oh, how do I find my engagement rate on Instagram? I am so used to using these social media dashboards that pull in all my data for me. You have to actually calculate your overall engagement rate on Meta. Like if you're looking at just your Meta insights, you have to like look at the interactions and divide it by reach to get your engagement rate. And I would have never known that unless that person asked me that very basic question the other day.
So what I'm saying, folks, is I think putting a little bit of budget through Facebook or Google Adverts isn't a bad idea, so you can get some initial traction. But then I would lay off, even if you had the money, because you're just going to waste it.
I agree.
And you're going to waste it even if you hire somebody that's got a lot of experience in running adverts, because you're asking the impossible for them, because you haven't clarified your business model yet. You haven't clarified who the elements of what you're offering that offers the most value. You've got to clarify all that before you put on what I call gasoline on the fire, which is what I see paid advertising as. Just accelerating the process, but you've got to get the first things clarified first. Would you agree with that?
And I find when people work on their own marketing, you end up kind of clarifying it even for yourself, because you're working on these social media posts to communicate about your group. And then you think, oh, wait a minute. And as you're writing it, I find that that process really ends up clarifying things when I do it anyway, personally.
Now, I think one of the reasons why I asked Nicole, because this list of dubious individuals that we're going to go through, in my personal opinion, this is all my personal opinion, folks, I'm going to be saying that quite a bit. This is my personal opinion.
Just a cover.
All right. This is my personal opinion. Is that I feel some of these individuals and they're kind of poster sons and daughters of this particular way of selling. I think they've caused some damage and they've discredited online learning. And because I think it definitely, I've joined courses and they haven't been life changing, but they've really helped me accelerate my learning process. And they've been around the $500, maximum $1,000. So, and I've definitely got a few things out of them. There have been some that I've got less out and others I've got even more. Not only have they met my expectation, they're well gone beyond it. Others have just met roughly my expectation, right? So this whole subset of people, they are more kind of dream sellers, aren't they, in a way? Would you agree with that?
The problems I have in part with the people that we're going to talk about today, there's just a couple main things that I like that get my hackles up. And one is income claims or any kind of, so, which they are usually clever enough to not do in the actual like YouTube title or description, but they'll do it in the thumbnail. Like one of our companions, I think today, like it said how to make money doing this or whatever. And the thumbnail said $250 a day on Instagram Reels. So that's an implication that like you're going to make $250 a day making Instagram Reels, which is way more than the average American even would make in a year. Like if you look at it, like, and it's like, does that make any sense? No. So I really don't like it when they do that. And then I also really don't like it when they, can I say this? There's not one thing that's going to change your entire business. And they always like imply that like their one method or their one thing is going to change the whole course of your business. But I guess the good news is if one whole thing can't make your business successful, there's not one whole thing that'll tank your business. I guess, I don't know, unless you do something really, really horrible, like really horrible. But yeah, so those are kind of like my main problems with these people is that there's either some income claims or they act like, oh, this one thing is going to change everything. And then, oh, if it doesn't work, it's your mindset.
Yes.
Like if things don't work.
But we must understand mindset. If you allow your mindset to become totally cynical, that's a problem.
Sure.
But if you're Pollyannish about everything, that's also a problem. It's finding a balance, isn't it? But have you got any thoughts? Because obviously I'm English. I've been living in America 20 years. I've lived in about 4 to 5 other countries in Europe and in South America. I find, obviously, if you're in digital marketing, you quickly understand that you can't sell ice to Eskimos, that your product or service, there has to be a receptive audience. You can't. So why have you got any thoughts? What is it about American culture that makes it so accessible to these kind of messages and individuals? There seems to be a tradition in America, American culture has some enormous strengths, optimism. Most Americans that I've worked with are extremely hard workers and very family. I know you wouldn't get this impression from the media, but a lot of Americans are extremely family focused and very hard workers. But you also got this side that come from like P.T. Balderman or Henry Kellogg, this kind of wheeler dealer, kind of bigger than life individual. There seems to be a part of American culture that is attracted to these type of individuals. You got any thoughts about that?
Well, I think, one of the famous, it's not, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And this idea of the American dream, right? So our whole lives, as Americans, we've been told, if we work hard enough and if we persevere, that we can be a millionaire, we can get to the top of the company, we can become a movie star or whatever. I think that a lot of people have been sort of programmed that, okay, if I work hard, I'm going to get this, right? And what we don't see and what some of these people will show us is that like maybe they came from money. Maybe they were connected to somebody who made a helpful introduction. Maybe they were, in the right place at the right time for this thing to happen. And as Americans, we don't like to acknowledge
there's a lot of variables, isn't it?
Exactly. So when we see successful people, we assume that they worked hard to get there. And I'm not saying, by the way, all successful people didn't work to get there. I'm saying that there's other factors, if they really looked at it, that contributed to their success.
In my opinion, some of the people that we're going to discuss probably weren't the hardest workers.
In my opinion too. But and the thing, and I'm not, like you said, I'm not taking away that typically hard work is a component, but that, as like you said, if we don't talk about the other things, it's kind of not really a fair discussion. So I think as Americans, when if you've worked really hard for like 10, 15, 20 years and you're not successful, you're thinking, oh, but if I work hard, I'm supposed to be successful. Maybe I'm working hard at the wrong thing. So then we have a cleverly placed YouTube ad, or, this person shares, I don't want to give away any of their names, shares a social media post from this very successful marketing
to me.
And then you're like, oh, well, maybe if I follow them and work like hard in the way they tell me to work hard, I'll be successful.
Yeah, the thing they seem to be selling, a lot of them, is their own success. Really?
Yes.
So get ready, folks. We're going to go into our list, but we're going to go for our middle break first. I think it's been a great conversation with Nicole. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Give us some feedback, what you think so far. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. It's been a great discussion with Nico. I also want to point out we've got a great community on Facebook, the Membership Machine Show group. It's totally free. We love you to go over and join it. It's a mixture of WordPress and people like you trying to build a membership website or community-focused website in 2024. We love you to join. I'm always posting my videos and my other content to help you be successful in 2024. Go over and join. So let's go into it. So let's start with the big daddy. And he is big. He's a big guy. I think he's 6'4", 6'5". That's Tony Robbins.
Oh, yes, Tony Robbins.
The big daddy of this group, I would say. What's your thoughts about Big Tony, as I would say?
Big Tony, well,
The man with the big smile.
Yeah, I guess, you know, money can buy you really nice teeth. The thing with Tony is, I mean, his stuff is very general, but we all kind of know that he uses a lot of psychological tactics, in particular his live events, like keeping people up, you know, for, you know, 12 hours straight or something. That's what I mean is, like, you look into and
I have no idea why people buy his shit. I have absolutely no idea. I'm sorry. I've got to be cheerful about it.
Right. Well, and to me, Tony Robbins commits one of my guru fallacies, which is that just because you're rich doesn't mean you know everything. I would say, like, other people.
In my opinion, he knows nothing. In my opinion, yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Pretty general. Like, if you watched a 3-hour Tony Robbins presentation and I said, hey, can you summarize that presentation, you probably could do it in 2 or 3 sentences. Do you know what I mean? So I guess that's mine.
But he's got a skill, and it's a skill I haven't got, but I've known some people that good, really fantastic salespeople, and they can fill empty space with just word salad. And but when you analyze it, there's no meaning to it, but they can just, they just go on and on. And, why has he been so successful? I think he kind of, the sidecar, he kind of was in the right place at the right time. I think Oprah gave him a great break. And also he was into this fire walking. That's how he got his initial. This sounds bizarre that somebody that reckons he can give you any of your business really got his audience by walking on fire. But that's how that's how he got into the mindset of America in a way, was this him walking and getting other people to walk on fire. And telling them they could do anything, and they walked on fire, didn't they?
Yeah, and he'll do things like in the middle of a presentation, and he'll talk to people in the audience, and he'll tell people, like, oh yeah, you need to divorce your husband. Like, call him right now. You know, he'll do stuff like this, and you're like, okay, you've talked
about this. I listened to him, but I thought that cost me about $500,000.
So Tony Robbins told you to divorce, and you were like,
"No, I've been sarcastic, but it did cost my divorce. Did cost me $500,000. Yeah,
mine too. Divorce is expensive. I do not recommend."
That's my retirement gone, but I'm not bothered because what would I do? I'm not into golf, so I get bored, and I can't lay on the beach. I get bored.
And I'm an American millennial. I'm never going to retire. Yeah,
But I don't, you know, as long as I can plod along and I work for myself, I'm a happy bunny.
Absolutely.
So It is amazing. This, you know, he's got his private island, which I've got no problem with. But I just do not understand. But I think now his marketing campaigns, none of them are run by him. And the team that he's got are pretty slick, aren't they? The actual marketing campaigns, the positioning, the wording. It's some of the slickest marketing. But is there anything that we can get from the marketing, because it's at such a volume and at such a...
So a couple of these people I've reacted to, not on the list we're going over today, but they'll say, well, Tony Robbins is able to do this many videos a week. And when you look at, you're like, Tony Robbins has hundreds of employees. But, you know, I just kind of tell people, like, is it just because the name of the company is Tony Robbins, there's hundreds, if not thousands of people between probably his staff and his subcontractors who are doing all that work. So if someone tries to shame you and say, well, Tony Robbins, you know, does this with his marketing, Tony Robbins has a whole staff. Like, there is no way that you as a singular, or even me, there's four of us in the company. There is no way as a four person company, I could produce the amount of content that a 500 person company can produce. So I think, you know, it's just not a fair comparison. But I guess if you wanted to kind of, a lot of his stuff is pretty psychological.
He's into this NL?
Neuro-linguistic programming.
Well, I hear that, I run for the hills. I literally run for the, if I hear anybody spouting that crap, I just run to the hills. Yeah.
But if you wanted to take like, whatever, a nugget from it, let's say that you sold like candles or something. What you could do is you could join some candle-based, you know, whether it's a Facebook group or a Reddit community or something, and see how people are talking in the group, you know, and say like, okay, are they talking about how long the candle burns? Are they talking about, you know, paraben-free candle? Like, what are some things they're talking about? And then if you use those phrases and words when you create your marketing content, like, I guess that's something we could sort of copy about Tony Robbins that wasn't a morally bankrupt thing that we could copy.
But he does appeal to a certain sizable minority, because they pay a ridiculous amount to go to his live webinars. They pay, it's nearly a couple of thousand to listen to his very generalistic dribble business nonsense,
well,
in my opinion.
He has a very generous affiliate plan. Yeah. So if you became affiliate, so I'm guessing if you're like, wow, all these people are talking great about Tony Robbins, yeah, all those people are getting like at least $500 every time like you sign up for one of his things. So I think some of this artificial, wow, a bunch of people are talking good about somebody, check their affiliate program.
I think that can apply to a lot of the people.
Exactly.
So, on to the next one. Marie, how do you pronounce her second name?
Forleo.
Forleo.
Marie Forleo.
She's the kind of... to me, she's the kind of female version of Tony Robbins.
Well, she used to work for him.
Oh, she like... They're all... Amy Porterfield. Oh, yeah. She's
They're all connected. All these people... And that's the thing, too, if you look close enough, they're all connected. So they all platform each other. So if you're wondering why you're not in the... It's because you're not in the club. They're not platforming you because you're not in their little club. Oh, no, they're connected.
I knew she was a fitness instructor in New York, and I think she's another one that got onto Oprah to some extent, It just seemed to explode for her. But there seems, in my opinion, to be absolutely no real value or content in anything that she produces that would help you with a membership or set up any kind of digital business. But that's my opinion. So what's your own views about the content?
I used to like her. And then I started digging in and I was like, oh, the connection with Tony Robbins. And I mean, she has some, you know, she had this, I forgot what it was called, but she had like some little show where people could submit her question and then she would give them very generic marketing advice. Which is fine if you do not have that general marketing advice, I guess. But I don't know. I just think that she runs this thing called B School, which she initially did with Laura Roeder. They started it like back when I started back in 2008, I think. And it's this very expensive 6-week program. I think it's like $3,000 or something for 6 weeks. And it's like, if you look at the agenda, it's really basic. It's like how to figure out your target audience, how to like set up an email and social media marketing. You know, it's just very kind of general stuff that I feel like if you read a couple of business books or, you know, worked with your local SBDC or something, that you probably could do yourself. And then, you know, she's like, oh, I have over 300 positive testimonials, but she's had 30,000-ish people go through it. So I'm like, okay.
When you point that out with something else,
of,
that,
yeah,
when you do the actual mathematics, it's not so impressive, is it?
Exactly. Like, it's a volume thing. But so the B-School thing, I think, is...
Well, I think Tony, she does communicate very effectively. And she is an attractive woman, and she knows how to communicate, and she got herself into the right crowd. I didn't know she was one of these work disciples of Tony, like you say.
There's a picture of them standing together somewhere even. Yeah. I don't know if she worked for him as like a salesperson or she was like his assistant or something, but there is definitely a Tony connection. Like, that's pretty direct.
So there's a few of them, and what's the main thing? Is it getting enough budget and getting people that really know what they're doing around paid advertising that really helps them? Obviously, they learn from Tony to get all the marketing spiel at their target audience, but is it then getting backers and getting enough money so they can initially, or is it they really understand affiliate marketing as well?
I think part of it is they have, and I think also Marie Forleo has a generous affiliate program. And let's face it, if you paid 3,000 or 6,000, however much B-School is, and you went through it and said, hey, if you want to be an affiliate of it, you'll get $1,000, right? It's kind of in my interest as a former student to talk well about it. I've already paid the money, and it's the only way I'm going to get paid back, right? Is if I get other people into it. It's a little pyramid schemey. But if you look at any one of these people, just open up Facebook ads library and type in the name of the company. And I want to stress, Marie Forleo is not a person, she's a company. So type in Marie Forleo and you will see these people are running hundreds of ad sets at any given time. So
what kind of monthly budget do you think her operation up? Roughly. Are we talking tens, hundreds of thousands?
Probably.
Well, tens of thousands per month, but are we talking about hundreds of thousands per year?
I'm guessing. You can't see how much they're spending. You can just see how many different campaigns they're running. So you'll see when you go to the ads library, it'll show you the creative. It'll show you like the image of the video and it'll show you the headline. It won't show you who it's targeting. It won't show you how much they're spending. But if you're like, okay, this person's running 250 ads right now, like, and what each ad, you know, each ad set, they're spending $100, you know, that adds up pretty quickly. They're probably spending more than $100 per ad set, but I don't see
Tony as evil, really, or Marie. I just don't. My main criticism is the price of the courses to the value.
Yeah.
Any value you would get out of the course is very, very low, in my opinion.
I agree. And then I think platforming lifestyle, like, I think they also artificially, like, show their success and attribute it with this particular knowledge base, which I don't think is necessarily
100%
accurate.
Well, compared to that we're soon going to be discussing, they're quite sophisticated in doing
they
that.
Really are.
Compared to some of the other people, one particular individual that's
Let's
on to the next one. Slightly different because he's got his own SaaS product, which he set up with his business partner, who's the technical lead. And that's Russell Branson.
Owner of
Cleveland. I've just going to let you set the stage before I add my little bit. What's your views about good old Russell?
Well, Russell likes to read has read a certain kind of propaganda to get better at sales. And let's just say that it is problematic propaganda. So just look up Russell Branson, Rachel K. Albers into Google search and you will see exactly what I mean. I don't want to get your platform demonetized by saying what it is. But
I don't do money.
Yeah, I don't censor. Anyway, Yeah. It's as schmatzies. Schmatzy propaganda. Yeah. So, and also, so the thing with Russell Brunson, so there's some connections there. He's also connected with some other problematic people, and he's connected with some of these other gurus too. So he owns ClickFunnels, which is a, you know, a SaaS. I mean, personally, like, and you're somebody who knows like websites too. Like when you look at it, you're like, okay, I think this is a little overpriced for what it is. That's kind of my main thing.
Well, they had their own troubles because they tried to update it with version two, and it's been an ongoing little bit of a train wreck, in my opinion. They've looked to other SaaS platforms. I know a couple of people that were really into ClickFunnels, and they were both females, and they're much pretty hardcore digital marketers. A bit cynical, really.
Sure.
But you get a lot of people that have been in a number of years into digital marketing, and they can get, and so, but they knew their stuff, and they went to a couple of old ClickFunnels.
Oh, the events,
And they were shocked at the aggressive sales techniques that even these two individuals that weren't virgins in digital marketing, they were hardcore. They said to me they never experienced 2 days of such. And they were selling plans for over $100,000. And it was intense. The two individuals that I spoke to that went to these events were quite capable of not being responsive. And they said, at one time, they were actually thinking about it until they slapped themselves on their head and said, wake up.
No, and just like, you see the tactics, but that doesn't mean you're like immune to like them. I mean, I've been in sales presentations like that too, where I'm like, I know exactly what's going on, but for a minute, I'm like, well, wait a minute. If I move this money from this account, for a second, I think it, and then I stop myself. But I mean, I could see him.
You literally smack really yourself across the face, do you?
I metaphorically slap myself across the face and stop myself. But yeah, I could see him having really strong sales tactics. Also, he's like, you know, here's the thing too. If you look at the ClickFunnels, again, their affiliate plan. So if I'm an internet marketer and someone comes to me and says, hey, I need to set up, you know, a landing page that goes into an email newsletter, and I know that I can make $100 per month for every person, or I don't know if that's the amount, but it's some amount like that. You know, if I can make that money passively after referring one of my clients, I could be a pretty great marketer, but I could make a lot of side income doing that if I was willing to do that. And I have some affiliate stuff on my website, but like I tell people, I don't make a ton of money. I mean, I make maybe $500 a year on
the other thing is, which is not, the other thing, there's two other areas. The language he utilizes in some ways isn't as sophisticated as the two previous, because he has, in my opinion, he utilizes the kind of language of identifying the mark, if you know what I mean. Which I find, secondly, which you can't blame him. He runs a SaaS. He's the joint founder of a SaaS marketing automation company. But he overemphasizes, and it's become a bit of a sickness in digital marketing, in my opinion, that he indicates almost that setting up these elaborate marketing automations will actually lead to business success. But you do not spend hours. You only spend hours on marketing automation when you've got enough audience and you've subdivided to make the process worthwhile. I'm stating the obvious, but I think a lot of people have don't understand the obvious, do they?
Right. Well, and also, like, I think it's like really tempting when you hear like systematization, automation. And you're like, okay, like this is where my business should go. And I have clients who are like, you know, we'll build on something. They'll be like, well, what if I get 100 orders per day? And what I tell them is, when you have the
problem, that's a great problem to
have. Money to solve the problem. Like, we need to start with something. Like, we don't need to think 10 steps ahead. Because like you said, your business will change over time. So you might start like this, but when you get to 100 sales per day, you might have changed how you're shipping things and the thing we set up won't even work anyway or whatever. So what I tell people is like, let's get like you've said, a sort of minimum viable product that's going to work. And then then you can worry about scaling when you actually have to worry about scaling. Like, yeah, people will waste a lot of time. And the thing with Russell too, if you watch his content, he like will hold his camera up and like does a lot of selfies. He does a lot of stuff when he's driving too. Whereas like Marie Forleo, the woman has a blowout. She has a designer dress on. She has a set. Like she look like it's profesh. Russell Brunson, he's sitting on his living room floor holding his camera and like not even a tripod in sight and just like talking at it. So I think
and it's around the affiliate. He has a whole tribe of millennial. They're mostly men, hardcore marketers. A lot of them are into email marketing, basically cold email. These parasites, as I call them, he has his whole tribe, and they tend to be millennial young men that are into digital marketing, into cold email marketing, and getting around every email platform that wants to bar them. That's his kind of posse, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of these people will be in my comment section and maybe in yours too, being like, oh, you're just a jealous troll and you're not successful and you just...
Oh, yeah, I'm totally jealous. Doesn't it show?
I'm like, yeah, I'm jealous of like a band child who like, you know, manipulates, you know, people using, you know, crazy techniques.
Oh, I'd be much more wealthier if I had no more scruples. It's a terrible side of me. I wish I could get... I've been in therapy for years trying to get rid of any conscience.
My thing is, like, there's a French proverb that's like, there's no pillow as soft as a guilt-free conscience. And that's just how I lived my life. So, like, yeah, I have not prioritized. Like, when someone comes to me and they don't have money, I cannot try to sell them something. You know what I mean? Like, it'll come out in the conversation.
They're adults, but I'm not saying... We're going real hardcore here. Yeah. We're going really deep here now. Mm-hmm. This guy is in a different scale compared to the last three we discussed. But we've got to be very careful because he's suing a lot of people at the present moment.
Sure.
But it won't stop me. But if it stops you,
Cardone. Oh my God, that guy.
Now, I have a couple, they're not friends, but they're associates in the WordPress that have been hugely successful. I have one individual that loves Grant, and he has over 300,000 following on YouTube as a WordPress influencer. And he's also built up two amazing plugin companies, and he's worth multiple millions. And he loves Grant, and I can't stand Grant. I literally want to vomit when I see this guy. He, in my opinion, he is the worst of the worst. You know, he makes Tony Robbins look... he's on a different league. But he has been hugely successful, huge to some degree.
Sure.
What do you think has been the key to Grant's success? Because I do not understand it at all.
So he's a Scientologist. You probably knew that.
I did.
But
I'm English. It's the connection side, are you saying?
Well, I'm just saying that, like, if you wanted access to a lot of capital, I don't know, they would be among my top, you know, my top 10 organizations or companies I would think of if I needed a lot of money. I mean, they have a lot of money tied up in property, obviously. You know, they get a lot of donations. They have, like, celebrities. You know, they have properties all over the world. Yeah. People who work for almost no money for them. Like, I'm just saying they have a lot of money. So...
They're Seagate gets that sign a billion-year contract, don't they? I don't even ask my own clients to sign a billion-dollar being your contract.
I think it's fourth, wouldn't it?
I think that's pushing it a bit far, isn't it? Asking people to sign a being-year contract, isn't it? But it's so American, isn't it? It could be a 30-year. You could ask them to sign a being-year, haven't you?
You know, I will say in a country that will elect Donald Trump, we have Grant Cardone. And I'm just going to say that.
Oh, you're getting me too deep.
So,
S-H-I-T now. They have a similar, I did like you, Nicole, but now I'm going off you.
They have a similar disposition. They're very confident. They show their money. And that's the thing, too, with a lot of everybody we talk to. If you watch any of their videos, they have what I call a guru trailer, where basically they don't say at the beginning, "Hi, I'm Grant Cardone. I have a million." They don't say that. They show their private plane coming in. They show themselves standing on stage in front of 1,000 people.
And I have a set. No. It's been written about in a number of these self-help books. They have there's a whole niche of people that look at these individuals, and they have a set pattern, don't they? Like there's always an element where they were starving, and then they managed through their own self-work to. It has a structure that they all adopt, don't they? Do you think it has some element of the hero journey to it, like Joseph Campbell? Are they adopting that to some distort it a little bit?
I mean, like I said, so the American culture has told us that if we work hard enough, we can go anywhere. So we can't just be like, well, you know, I grew up and my dad had an emerald mine and here I am now. Like, that's not a very inspirational piece of...
Be nasty to the owner of X, formerly Twitter. He could help you. His dad was fabulously rich and...
Yeah, but no one... It doesn't make a compelling story, right? And it doesn't reinforce this idea as Americans we have that if we work hard enough to get anywhere. I guess what I'm saying,
compared to British society and other Europe, it is more freer, isn't it, to some extent?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, like we don't have, I guess, we don't have like royalty or anything. But we have people who just make a lot of money and have a lot of power in society because of it. So my question with Grant Cardone is like, where did he get his money? And what I would challenge anyone to do, there's no Wikipedia page about him, which I think is interesting. Or there wasn't when I recorded the initial couple of videos I did about him. There's only like a sort of Scientology equivalent of Wikipedia. And if you listen to, I've watched and reacted to three of his longer format videos. His timelines where he talks about his life do not line up.
You were quite detailed about your life.
Yeah, that's
I can't do that because nothing about him appeals to me at all. Absolutely. Yeah. He's less sophisticated than some of the others that we have spoken about. I just find the whole presentation, it's less sophisticated, it's even more in your face. And I just find the whole thing, in my personal opinion, semi-revolting. Maybe that's my Englishness.
No, and he's pivoted from marketing to real estate and to like taking people's money to invest and invest in real estate. And I'm like, and he like will talk down about like, well, a bank will only give you money. And I'm like, yeah, banks have to follow very specific rules about money. They have to keep a certain amount of money on hand.
They're so honest, these American banks.
Well, no, but at least like they have regulations around them. If I give Grant Cardone money, like the FDIC is not insuring that, like, you know, I mean, at least I don't think they are, but yeah, he's, well, also too, when he presents information, if you want to say, listen, I think he's an upstanding man, fine. Try to follow one of his presentations. And I don't know if he's like, he probably honestly, you know, I'm like, I don't know if he's got some kind of, you know, a neuroprocessing thing or something, but he cannot like stay on a topic.
I think I'm not going to know. I had one of the people that works for me, really fantastic guy. And we're having a chat with him, and because I don't watch American television, I stopped watching it about 8 years ago. And it's really had a, I've gone on to something much worse. I just watch YouTube. But the only thing with YouTube is you don't get all these crime shows because there's only so many murders that your psyche can take, isn't it? It's a bit of a bummer, isn't it, all this murder, isn't it? So I stopped watching it 8 years ago, but the individual I was talking, and I brought up Grant. I said, I can't. And he said, yeah. He said, but I watched one of his TV shows where he was sent to town with only $1, and it's the series is it sends these entrepreneur types to somewhere where they've got no network and they've got no money, and in a period of time they've got to make $1 million, and seemingly he did it. And I started laughing. I said, you do realise that this is television. This is reality. Right. This was a story and it's not real. And I think we're still all, don't know how sophisticated we think we are still, it's just part of the human condition. We cannot accept that most of what is put on our computer, our tablet or on our TV screen has no reality to it, has it?
Right. Well, and even in that show, so the fun thing about that show is you hear Grant Cardone talk about it and he is mad about the way he was portrayed. I don't know if he sued them, but he definitely threatened to. So he's mad at
them. Well, there's not many people he hasn't threatened to sue.
But it's like this production company gave you a national platform. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously they're going to like edit things the way they want, right? But the other thing too is if you watch that show, because I watched it, so part of when he got there, he found somebody who let them live. I think he like lived in someone's like trailer, like they weren't using it or something. And so throughout this whole thing, people help him.
Yeah.
And what I really don't like about this whole American narrative, I made it on my own. No, you didn't. Like, you know, like even if we say like, well, I made it on my own. Okay. Well, my community, I have a paved road in front of my business. I have electricity running into my business. I, you know, my family were my first customers. Like, I'm just saying that, like, we all have had help. So these people who were like, I'm going to like go there and I'm going to do it myself. The reason he's able to do it is that other people were willing to help him. So like, let's not pretend that we're all just little islands, you know, completely detached from one another. Like, we need to help each other. So yeah, like the way that whole thing was portrayed was ridiculous, but. I think it's on YouTube, that show, if you ever want to watch.
Oh, I won't watch it. Obviously, I didn't watch it. Obviously, you have. And
I'll give you
gold stars for forcing yourself to watch it, actually.
I made it through two. And I didn't react to it because I thought, like, oh, like, if this was on a network or something, I just part of why I react to stuff that's on YouTube is it's stuff that is freely available. And these people have put out on their own platforms. So it's not like behind a paid gateway or something, so they can't get mad about it. But yeah, Grant Cardone, oof, what a guy. You never forget your first. Here's my first reaction. Oof, it was easy.
Going somewhere there, but I'm not going to. I'm too much of an English gentleman that hour. on to the next one. Sonny Landarduzzi.
Sonny Landarduzzi, I think, yeah.
The Doozy.
Yep.
I've taken some of her concepts and actually stolen them, like Picasso said.
I don't think all of her content
She's definitely in a different league to some of the other individuals that we've discussed.
Absolutely.
I just think there are some of the concepts are totally fine, and it all has to lead to them hiring her and her team. I'm not anti. I've worked for myself since I was 21. I'm on my third business. All of them I've managed to sell them to somebody. So there must have been some success because somebody gave me some hard cash to sell it to them. I was reasonably comfortable until my divorce, there we go.
Got it.
There is a heart in my body. I've tried to remove it as much as possible. It comes.
Yeah, so I can't get mine out either.
That
makes it feel any better.
The conscience.
But yeah, I don't.
These are problems if you want to be successful, isn't it? Having a heart and a conscience, isn't it? A lot of the things, there's definitely more meat on the carcass with what she provides to these
animals. I agree.
My only concern is when the claims, they're not direct claims, they're indirect around what you're going to get in giving a substantial chunk of money, isn't it?
Well, she has two YouTube channels, okay? So one of them is Sunny Leonard Doozy. So if you look her up, she's got like 500,000 YouTube subscribers or something. But there's one, is it called the Agency Accelerator?
Yes.
She has a separate channel called Agency Accelerator Reviews. So she has taken her claims and just moved them to another channel that has less followers. But she's talking like, oh, we're talking to the video I reacted to. We're talking to this person who made $30,000 in 30 days and then quit her job. Like, to me, even if you
based on my experience, this doesn't sound it. I don't really want to get sued. But based in my own opinion, based on my over 30 years in business, this doesn't taste right to me. It doesn't pan out. I'm sorry.
Well, and when they're talking about testimonials, right, that's fine. But when you put testimonials, the part that they don't actually say is, and you can too, but it is implied. And
that's the way there is a lot of stuff in her content that is applied, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's the thing is they're not saying, a lot of these people aren't saying directly, like, you can make $1 million. Although the last guy reacted to, did you know that you could make $1 million drop shipping in 2024? The e-com king thinks you can. I'm just saying, like, there are.
Well, I was on your last review, which I thought was very fair, which was a specialist in e-commerce.
Yeah.
And utilizing Facebook adverts. I've forgotten the name of the gentleman. And he's very like Sonny. There was more meat that he
was. There was.
The things he was saying were not misleading. What was misleading is that when you did the basic math and you worked out the amount of hours you would have to put into this and the slog, the whole niche of drop shipping, there's still some possibilities there, but it's been well whipped, this horse, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess all I'm saying is that, like, if you are making income claims, even if you're platforming, if you just want to say, hey, this person started this kind of a business,
and
let's talk to them about it, that's fine.
She's too Pollyannish to me. I'm English. So she rubs me up the wrong way anyway, Nicole. She's too smiley and upbeat anyway. I come from a country where it rains for seven months of the year, Nicole. And she's just too happy, isn't she?
She's too sunny.
I'm going to let you get off that.
Yeah.
It was bad, actually. On to the next one. I think this would be the last one.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah.
You got better things. How are you trying to make a living? Old Jeff. Jeff, how'd you pronounce it?
Jeff Lerner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good old Jeff. I'm not going to say. So what would you say about good old Jeff?
What would I say about Jeff? So I still don't know how to pronounce Jeff's learning company. Is it Entree? Is it? I don't know. It's
Don't ask me. I'm not the king of pronouncing. I've made that quite obvious during the
He has like this Entree Learning or I don't know if it's Entree or Entre, like the way it's spelled. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, isn't that 101 of marketing? You actually need a name of your company that's pronounceable.
Well, I've only ever seen it like written. And he's never said it at the beginning. He's not like, hi, I'm Jeff Lerner and my company is blah. Like, I haven't found him pronouncing it really. So, but it's like some e-learning platform. And he decided that he wanted to build a bunch of courses about marketing because he thought he should help people with marketing. And I'm like, has this guy been on the internet for the last 20 years? Like, I mean, if you want to say I've seen the courses about marketing and I have a different approach or something, but to
say revolutionary setting up lead magnet pages for people.
And, yeah, basically. And just, I mean, his overall character is kind of interesting. He just talks about basically like this idea of like sort of the persona, but when he talks about people, he's very like, well, you know, I can think of, you know, a middle-aged dad who like is overweight and is just not happy in his life. And I used to be that. So he like very much like when he talks, it's like he's up here and the audience is down here. And when you think that way, when you talk to your audience, it definitely can come across. But in one of the videos, the whole video was called How to Get Your First, I forget if it was 1,000 or million or something, followers on Instagram. And he proceeded to not talk about it at all, which was just brilliant.
Well, it's so obvious, you know, that the, well, he admitted it. I did watch that video and he admitted that he hired a, what was unbelievable with that video, but bless his little heart. He actually said he actually had hired an agency and they actually had bought paid subscribers. That's in the video.
Yep. And then, you see, and then after I did that video, he posted some Instagram thing that I happened to see and it was like, I deleted 70,000 of my Instagram followers. Here's why I did it. Like, I just wanted to concentrate.
You told me you were so insane in your video to tell people. That's why, you idiot.
Like, did Instagram delete them? Do you know what I mean? Like, where they bought followers and the Instagram just did a major clean out. But if you want to just go on a wild ride, just go to his Social Blade stats and just look at the follower changes. There's these, like, huge spikes and dips. And then if you just go to, like, a normal, like, if you are, like, your followers, like, there's, like, a slow, steady, you know, like, normal. Like, this guy, it is literally a roller coaster if you follow the graph. It's kind of funny, so.
But you've consumed much more of his stuff. He just appears in front of me through his utter enormous spend on YouTube. he must spend over 100,000 on YouTube adverts, mustn't he? So somebody's buying this, in my opinion, somebody's buying this garbage from him, but there are nothing. You've watched more of his videos. Is there any serious content in what he's producing?
No. Like, understand
your audience. I do have more problems with Sony, but there is some truth.
There's content there, at least.
There is some content, which is, she's the only person on this list.
Yeah.
I was on two minds to put her on the list, but it's the claims that she makes that's my problem with her. And some of the video testimonials that she's got are hilarious. You know, they're not the best. This is where the wheel falls off the marketing wagon, doesn't it, for her?
Yeah.
But compared to some of these other people, she's a saint, isn't she, really? Well,
and some of the people I react to, like I said, like there's actual like nuggets you can take from it, you know, and I think you take what you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. Like you take the things that you're like, oh, that's like a cool idea and incorporate it into your marketing and leave the rest. Just don't, if these people already are an eight-figure business owner, don't give them any more money. They have enough money, clearly. You know?
Do you want to finish the list or do you want to be off?
Oh, no, no, let's go. I think there's only one.
Alex, let's talk about Muscle Man here.
Alex Hargozy.
Yeah, what's your views on this geezer?
Oh, my God. One of my clients loves him and that's how I found him.
But there was I know rational people. That love one or two of these people. They and I just don't get it because normally they're more successful in business and they still like these people and I don't get it. So I thought I needed therapy from the queen of insight of these people.
Well, I don't know about the queen of insight. I mean, I have.
Becoming a bit of a niche star, actually, Nicole.
No, I have like. I have a few hundred people on Instagram and I've got 1,000-ish people on YouTube. I am not at all a giant influencer. I've just only been doing marketing for 18 years and I've worked with like about 500 different businesses at this point. So like, I just have seen a lot of marketing from the other side.
Tell us about Alex then.
Alex Hormozy. Okay, so he started a gym And now his main thing is he has acquisition.com, which is like sort of, you know, lead generation, sales funnel, like the usual stuff, right? He has books. I think one of them is $100 million lead something. And his whole, like I said, his whole brand is he's kind of an in-your-face gym guy. And he is like, you got to do the work. You got to do the work. You got to just be producing more content than everyone. You should get
a follower of Vaynerchuk, is he? You got to work about 100 hours.
He is very similar to a sort of a Gary Vaynerchuk type character. And it's like you have to work hard.
Well, that's the funny thing, because you got that geezer. What's his name? The 4 hour person.
Tim Ferriss. I don't mind Tim Ferriss.
I can't stand him. I think
if he's rich and he goes down weird rabbit holes, and I think it's funny. I'm like,
is it possible to put more adverts into your podcast than what Tim Harris has managed?
Oh, I don't listen to his podcast.
I don't think it's possible, folks. Oh, you know, he must put in a 30-minute podcast, he must literally attempt to put 30 minutes of adverts in it.
That didn't surprise me. I'm saying content-wise, I don't mind him, but yeah.
I see where you're coming from. But this idea, I consistently hear this, that I just want to set up everything evergreen, Jonathan, and I want to do a million-dollar business and live on the beach. And I was thinking, well, you're in the wrong game here, folks, because this is business, you know.
And all these people who are implying that, they're not living on a beach. They're producing all this video content and they're spending all this money on ads. And I'm like, okay, if you've made your fortune, why not just go lie on a beach somewhere?
And then you got Vaynerchuk, the other extreme, where he wants you to work 20 hours per day. And that, where does that lead? I'll tell you where that leads. That urgent cares, that ends up in the urgent care center with a massive freaking heart attack. That's where that ends up.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, and he got divorced a couple years ago, and yeah, it's been, you know, he's got a bit of a, you know, his brother and him started like a marketing agency, and it seems like it seems to have cost him a lot of money. He made a lot.
Let's go back to Alex. So Alex is this gym boy, and it's all about the work. But is there any real content in anything that he provides in your opinion?
I mean, I think his approach to short form video content is interesting. If you wanted to take that from it, if you wanted to read his books, like that's fine. I just think that, the whole, I hustled so hard and now I have, I don't really like this guy personally. I mean, he's sure.
I can't stand him either. I can't stand the geezer.
Right. And he was one of my top three videos last year. And I got the most hate comments I've ever gotten on that video. And, you know, cause like I'm just a fat middle-aged troll, right? Who like is not successful. And I'm just like, okay, like, did you watch the, I think someone's like, you didn't mention social media as a driver of website traffic. And it's like, yeah. And I made a video about like why, which is that social media doesn't typically directly drive a lot of traffic, but we should still do it. But the average, like website.
I got a comment on my last interview that was yesterday, and it's an individual called Kevin, and Kevin he's been on my show about 2 to 3 times, and he has a successful business where he advises web designers around modern CSS and coding.
Oh, nice.
And he's a martial arts expert, this geezer, right? He ran his own, what do they call it? Not studio.
Dojo.
And he is a true martial karate judo. I was a black belt in judo myself many years ago. Not now, though. I couldn't. But he's a hardcore. This guy can look after himself. And somebody left on my channel, you interrupted too many times with Kevin. You were a bit rude. And I said, thank you for the insight. And I'm so tempted. I think Kevin can look after himself, guy. He could literally go through the computer screen grabbed me and sold me out instantaneously.
I mean, it's a conversation. There's going to be some back and forth, you know, like that's part of it. That's why we didn't pre-record our sections. But yeah, I don't know. And then Alex Harmozzi is married, and his wife is also kind of like a hustle person. But she gets a lot of feedback because she has like a deep voice, and she's, I think, a taller woman. So people are like, oh, is she trans? Or and I don't, I want to just say, I don't want
people to say horrible. They're even worse.
I know, people are awful. Like, you know, being a person on the internet and just being, and that's the other thing with some of these people too, is it's like, okay, like some of this too, like if you're attractive, that also will help you sell things too. Like, let's, can we just,
don't talk,
let's, yeah, it's like, yeah, like, you know, that's, you know, why are we pretending that's not a factor? It is a factor when you sell things. But it's not the only factor, but it is a factor. But yeah, so I want to just say, I don't condone any,
Oh, you switched
stop because, yeah, no, I don't like.
So you, basically, this is a very long-winded. This is a long-winded way of saying you don't find much value in what you
nope.
do.
Nope.
All right.
I don't. Sorry.
Well, I think
sorry,
we've
Alex.
Had, I think we've had a good bitching session here, folks. You know, but I think the. I thought I just wanted to get somebody that has spent a lot of time watching.
I've spent hundreds of hours watching.
You really. For her duty here, Nicole really needs some support, folks, because she's gone beyond the call of duty. I couldn't actually do it myself.
I had to take a mental health break for a couple of months because it was starting to get to me a little bit. But I got some videos in the queue, and I'm coming back.
Coming back, babe. So, Nicole, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Yeah, if you want to go to the YouTube channel, Breaking Even Communications, I have a whole playlist called Nicole Reacts to Online Marketing Gurus. So if you want to, like, you know, and I try to interrupt periodically and make stupid jokes and stuff to just kind of pass the time. So you can check that out if you want to kind of see my general approach. The website, breakingeveninc.com, has a list of our services, some of our clients. I have probably, I think, about 1,800 blog posts on there, too. So I probably blogged about it at some point in the last 17 years, if I blogged about it at all. And yeah, I would say that those two places, and then any social media, we're pretty much everywhere.
So when it comes to your own agency, what are, you know, obviously I get the impression you help quite a diverse group, but what are there any particular types, businesses that you particularly like helping out?
Well, I mean, like, because I split my time between two small places. I have a lot of clients in the general areas, and it's just people I know in real life. I like doing work with my, you know, with people that I know I can pop by. I can help them, you know, get content done or something. I mean, I can work remotely too, but I'm just looking. I really like working with smart people who know what they want, because then we can have a conversation, and people who kind of see me as a partner. I think one of the videos I have queued up about Alex is, he talks about how, like, the agency trap. And it's like, I'm not trying to trap anyone. I'm trying to just provide marketing. It's like, oh, like, I'm, and then my video, like, oh, the trainer trap. Like, oh, yeah, you go to the gym.
I'm not sure, people. I'm not trapping anybody. You ask for a certain list of services, and I'll give you a price.
Yeah, I'm not trying to trap anybody. So if you're, like, a smart business owner, you know what you want. We don't have any minimum retainers. We don't have any, you know, I like working with, like I said, people who I find easy to work with. So if you need some help with marketing and want to talk, please feel free to reach out.
Right. It's been a blast. I think it's been hilarious in a way. That's the other thing before I end. I don't know if you agree. I notice with a lot of these people, they haven't got much of a humor, have they? They don't seem to. Tony's got a great smile. He seems to laugh a bit, but the rest of them, they're not that.
They're not, yeah. Well, what I love about it's in particular the male MLM trainers. So there's these like Eric Worre, let's see, I'm trying to think of the other ones, but these male multi-level marketing trainers, they're always saying, oh yeah, and I used humor in my trainings. And I've watched, like I said, towers of their trainings, and I'm like, have you said anything funny this whole time? And maybe, like I said, I have a certain sense of humor. I do a little amateur stand-up. So, like, I feel like I have like a
I would have never guessed, Nicole. I would have never guessed.
But I'm not constantly being like, oh yeah, and like all my trainings, I'm so funny. Like, I don't know. It's like show, don't tell. I don't know. I've never heard these people say anything particularly funny. Honestly, objectively. But yeah, they all like say, oh yeah, I have a great sense of humor. Like, okay. Do you want to show it to me sometime?
We're going to leave it like that, folks. Hopefully you found this extended show interesting. We covered some great stuff. I think I've got a couple of great guests like Nicole coming up in the next few weeks. We'll see you next week with some insights about how to build a membership or community-focused membership website in 2024 and get the success for yourself and for the family and the freedom that you're looking for. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.